captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl Old Guy for season 6, episode 3 of New Girl Single Insufficient. I am neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Allie Lasher, and I'm here with the titular old guy, Akiva Winokur.
It's me, the titular old guy.
It was tempting to be like, I'm neither single nor sufficient or whatever, but this episode is coming directly for me today.
Do you think you're sufficient?
Hell yeah.
Okay. And you're definitely
I'm too much.
Single.
yeah, it's all right. This episode, I'm definitely. I mean, you tell me, Akiva. We're acquaintances. Mm-hmm. I really don't think I'm. You've known me in various stages of relationship status.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like I'm not a single person who's unhappy when I'm single.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you were, I wouldn't have even joked.
I appreciate that. It's a point of pride for me, really, to not be a person who is defined by a
relationship. In fact, I would say
status.
Even when you're in a relationship, you have single vibes. You know what I mean? Like, you're very independent.
Well, that's not good. What does that mean?
I mean, you're independent. You know what I mean? It's not like some people are some people, like some of my married friends are fully pairs. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean they have a better or worse marriage. Probably means they have better. But like, you know, it's like I only can imagine this person without the other person. But with you, it's like, no, you have a life outside of your relationship when you're in a relationship.
Well, thank you. That's also a point of pride for me.
I mean, maybe that's why they haven't worked. Maybe you should find someone who's like, no, only interested in this guy. Sorry, everybody else.
Yeah. Love those kinds of relationships.
The last time I was single was July 20, 2003.
I don't know that you ever really were single. You were like,
I guess, yeah. If you're
undated. I don't want to say undateable. I mean, like,
I was undated.
Pre-dating.
And I was undated, that's true.
You were pre-dating, and then you were with Mara.
Right. I wasn't 20, so I guess that's not even single.
That's like saying, like, your kids are single.
Right. Well, I'm only 1 year... I was only 1 year older when I met Mara than my... than Ella is now.
Wow.
So technically, it works like that.
In your current immediate community... Are people mm-hmm. married as young, or has that, like, moved?
I think so.
A
I think even
years?
Younger. Like, because remember, I got married younger. It's not like everyone I knew got married. Like, I wasn't the only person, but it was definitely
right.
Slightly
have
unusual.
People moved towards a couple years past you,
no.
Or is like,
no.
Are Ella's friends
here.
Getting married?
No, well, she's a senior in high school, so I certainly hope not. I don't think that would even be allowed.
That's like not that great. You just said you were only when you met Mara. Okay.
When I met Mara, I was 2 years out of high school. I could have been halfway done with college, except I studied abroad.
Right. But all right. And that doesn't. We can edit this out if this becomes too sensitive. But and that doesn't get pushed with like military stuff.
For the boys, no, because you could be married and be in the army because you don't go away or anything. First of all, the people who get married youngest in America by rule are the military people. I don't know if you know this.
Well, I do know that.
Did you have any friends? Did you know anybody growing up who joined the U.S. Army?
No.
None?
Zero. Goose egg.
Wow.
Did you?
Too. U.S. Army? No. I had a friend... Who was,
I know someone who made Aliyah and joined the Israeli army.
Right. So I had a friend who, he was like one of these, I'm trying to think of a better word, but like a troubled youth. Like he had to go on one of these like wilderness programs and like even on the wilderness, you know, like you get picked up in the middle of the night and some drill instructor like takes you to the desert in Utah and they yell at you. And even there, he was, like, the worst behaved of, like, the kids on his thing. He told me this story once. I met him late at night.
Sorry, you met him late at night?
He was a childhood friend, sorry. And I had lost touch with him. And then I was walking around near the Western Wall. And I ran into him, and we had, like, a heart-to-heart, like, 2 in the morning. And he told me about, like, the years. You know, I probably knew him in elementary school, but I missed, like, his high school years. And he told me that, yeah, he had been taken to, like, the desert in Utah. And he was, like, of those kids, the worst. And, like, at one point they said, like, okay, you have to, like, live in this, like, his instructor drew, like, a circle in the sand, basically said you have to live in here for, like, 48 hours or something. So, he was, like, still finding himself so much that he went to the Israeli army and the American army. Like, he lived in Alaska, whatever. He's had a tough go of it.
That reminded me of a book. I think my favorite book from middle school. I haven't thought about it in forever, except the plot. I just had to confirm. But yes, Downriver is about Jesse's father sends her to summer camp for troublesome teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
They all like the program, discover they enjoy river rafting the best. Blah, blah, blah. By Will Hobbs. I remember this book specifically because it was on the entrance, like, walk-in decoration at my bat mitzvah of a collection of things I liked, which included two tribes and the logo from the show Survivor and a picture of the book Downriver. That you might think I was an outdoorsy kid, but no, I just like to read and watch people be outdoors, but not myself be outdoors.
It's like people assume I love playing basketball.
Because you like basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about women's basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to talk women's basketball. My Huskies lost in the Final Four.
Yeah, are you as big of a UConn fan for the women's basketball as you are men's?
No, and first of all, they
mostly... Wow, Kiva hates women.
Well, they don't play competitive games, right? They play in the Big East, and they win every Big East game by at least 30 points. Like, the women's game had, not just because of, like, Caitlin Clark or whatever, by far its best year ever. Like, the most stars, most talent, even though one team won and ended up the undefeated team won. Most competitive games. You know, there are very few upsets in March Madness. Literally, I think the higher seed went 31-1 in the women's tournament still. So there's still need to have more parity. But they don't really play a lot of relevant games. And also, when you've won 11 times, I do think that the stakes are a little bit lower, and they've won 11 championships. But I definitely watch their games and follow them and follow other games. And I was really rooting for them in the Final Four, but they were also missing half their team. Did you watch any of the women's March Madness?
I didn't really watch any March Madness, men's mm-hmm. or women's, but I've been following, you know, some of the highlights on TikTok. Okay. Good for women's basketball. I think it will translate into buzz around some of these players in the WNBA. People are excited about it, which is cool. A couple of things to catch up on from RNAP. It related to this, I have a dispute that you said my team, you call UConn, I forget how you phrased it, but we already, you know, had a spat about this in the DMs. But I do think it is misleading to say my team for a college team if you didn't go to that college.
Right. I hear what you're saying. It's a reasonable argument. Here's my counter argument. A, I did not go to another, like, a rival college. Like, if somebody goes to Vanderbilt but loves the Alabama football team, to me that's insane. But UConn and
my
Yeshiva,
grievance isn't that you support a team you didn't go to. I think
I
regardless of the rationale, saying it suggests you went there.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I can't really argue against that, but listen, I've been a diehard UConn fan for well over 30 years at this point. And, you know, I've earned my my blue and white Husky pinstripes.
I think you have to go British. You have to be like the team I support.
The team I support. Okay. I could do it.
And you know what's funny is you say my team a lot related to basketball. It's college basketball. But you don't really say that with relation to, like, football or, like, when you talk about the Jets, you're not like my football team. So that is kind of a funny distinction.
Well, what would I say? I would just call them the Jets.
You just say the Jets, and it's like so part of your ethos, you don't have to specify.
I guess, yeah. Like, I have a proverbial Jets tattoo.
But friend of the podcast, Noam Wieneker. Great.
Yes.
Great showing on RNAP this week.
He did a great job. He was really prepared, and he had a lot of ideas, and Dominic, Rob's son, was great also. And I they were once on and kind of bad. And we're like, oh, we're never doing that again. But they got older.
I love when Dominic was also great. But when Rob's like, all right, Dominic's getting too comfortable. Remember when he was shy.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's like around these podcasts all day. So it's probably normal to someone who's like parent is a professional podcaster.
Well, he's been on a couple of other things with Rob since Renap. But
yeah.
What was great is it really bleeds into a lot of the NGOG lore with Noam and his scavenger hunts, where, you know, he's an experienced scavenger hunt designer. And what was so great, I won't spoil his task, but he comes up with what I thought was going to be an idea that promptly gets poo-pooed by the participants and you and Rob, is like, oh, it'd be too long, it'd be too involved. And it was the best task they were asked to do. The mind of a child.
He did. We combined sort of like two of his ideas into one idea. But he it wasn't an accident, right? I asked him specifically if he had any ideas because he is the scavenger hunt guy. And I thought we would have nothing. I thought like it would be a bad episode, but it ended up coming together. He had some cute ideas, and shout out to the people who were on the show because they really bought in. It could have been like a joke, but every one of them tried to win, even though there was no prize and it was stupid, you know.
Not shouting out. I'm only shouting out Noam. No shout out to you, Rob, anyone.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding. Shout out to everyone. Okay. A couple of old business, points of old business related to New Girl before we actually get into this episode. I had a stray thought while I was watching this episode, but like, usually, you know, we still don't know Schmidt's first name. Because as I was typing notes, I wanted to keep calling Cece and Schmidt like the Schmidts.
Right.
So technically, that's the last name. We don't know Schmidt's first name. And it feels like we would have gotten the last name at his wedding. And we didn't.
You know, it's funny because when, you know, at some point on the show, they realized Kramer didn't have a first name. And I don't know how, like, intentional it was at first. But then it, like, became a little bit of a thing. And then they just randomly did it in a random episode. It wasn't, like, a season finale or a series finale or anything. They just, they based part of an episode around his name. I haven't really thought about it many times.
Not Akiva. Seinfeld's explaining to me.
Well, I'm explaining to the audience because that's what the podcast
what
is.
Audience?
Is it just us at this point?
I don't know.
So,
I don't want to know the answer.
So, do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, but I think Seinfeld is not the quintessential sitcom, right? Like, it would be very like sitcom-y for there to be a gag with like the wedding, and in a way, and I don't think it was intentional, but like having the wedding ceremony sort of yada yada in montage, as they do when they're ultimately in the apartment, prevents you from having to have the scene like, do you, Cece, take Schmidt?
Right.
Because that would be weird.
It would be very weird. It's true. I don't think they did that on purpose, but you're right. It played out that way.
So that's a matzo ball that I'm thinking about as we, you know, kind of approach Passover soon. And then Jess wrote to us, can't confirm which Jess, but the character or the listener, said, hi, it's me again. I have a general question for you two. Up to this point, this was season 6, episode 1, but we're in season 6, episode 3. What is your favorite season? And what is Akiva's? Overall, mine have always been pre-Reagan, so here we are, still loving you guys, keep killing it.
It's a good question. We should have done season rankings. I think last season was probably my favorite season, right? I really liked last season.
I agree. I think we were mutually the most positive on season 5. But, you know, as we get to the full end, we'll do maybe
which season is considered the best season? Do you know?
Considered by who? Like, I
guess
know,
like IMDb
so
has episode.
Like,
I'll like look at individual episodes, episode grade, especially after, but not beforehand. Then
maybe we'll look into it for the finale, the series finale.
So much googling I'll be able to do after. I'm excited.
Wow, you'll be a free man. I know it's been really hard.
I won't
not
really care at that point, probably. But yeah.
All right, Keith, hit us with the digest.
Okay, interesting episode. We've got a lot of the crew going glamping, namely Jess with
you sighed with such heaviness. Like,
you know, I was just thinking of like how to Jess and Robbie. He's back. Schmidt, Cece, Allie comes back, and she goes with Winston. So basically everybody but Nick, who's at home writing the Great American Novel, and Robbie's in Nick's stead.
Yeah.
What's going on the glamping trip, I guess, to get more specific? Allie and Winston haven't seen each other in a while, so they're smushing. Schmidt and Cece don't really have a storyline. And Jess and Robbie are, as we mentioned beforehand, or talked about beforehand, they are single by choice. Meanwhile, Nick, like I said, he's home. He's writing a novel. That, to my knowledge, that storyline does not finish in this episode. I don't believe we see him again after he's having writer's block, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And this, I don't know if I said it. This, we're at October 4th, 2016 in the world of NGOG, mm-hmm. or of NG. It's interesting that the Schmidts don't really have a storyline because they don't. They're really just like an antagonistic couple, like to the single people, even though yeah. the trip originally centers around them going on kind of a couple's trip with Winston and Allie. But because Winston and Allie have declared their intention to just have sex the whole time, they try to bring in other people. And that leads to Jess inviting her single squad, which is completely ridiculous, but kind of a fun way to bring in a couple people like Robbie and principal turned friend, Principal Foster.
Principal, ex-principal turned friend. Can you be friends yeah. with your ex-boss? I guess you can. Have you ever been friends with a boss?
Or you consider Rob a friend?
It's not my full-time job.
But he's your boss. He could fire you. What's in a boss? What defines a boss?
That's true. What is a, I mean, I guess anything. If you work for someone, they're your boss.
I think, yeah, they have firing authority.
Okay.
So, Rob could fire you. Rob did fire you. You're being slowly fired. You're being quiet fired.
Shoot, I'm being quiet fired. That's quiet. Yeah. Here's a new quiet firing. Tell your employees that they have 3 years left to their jobs.
It is a fun bit currently going on Red App where Rob is like, we're almost out of here, like last call. And you're like, just to be clear, there's 2 years left of these episodes.
Listen, we're full of bits.
Yeah, the Winston and Allie thing is like, okay, we've done last week's episode about their long-distance sex, and I understand that that was more about Reagan and Nick, but through yes. the lens of Winston and Allie. And now here they are, and their entire plot point is going to be about having catch-up sex. And I'm just like, maybe if it were Coach, like, Winston isn't this, like their relationship isn't really based on, like, being, like, sex fiends.
Right, but they haven't seen each
me.
Other in a while, so I agree it didn't really hit at all. But at least I don't think it's insane. Like they just haven't seen each other in a while.
I think it's insane only for that to be their entire storyline when you finally have Allie back, like when you've gotten to see him back, and that's how you're going to like deploy them. Like there's no movement in their relationship. It's just like they're the C story. Smushing, as you so eloquently said.
By the way, that was not my line. They literally say at the beginning of the episode. I did not invent that. I believe
Jersey Shore invented that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know. I think it would have maybe felt more true to Winston if he was like, had anxiety about, you know, smushing with Allie after such a long time, and it would have been somewhat of a, like a sweeter, funnier, dorkier, awkward moment versus he's like this like nymphomaniac. Not me like sex shaming Allie and Winston. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them, but
they're
in terms of the sitcom, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And
also like, why would they go on this trip? Like who would want these people on their trip? It's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, I do kind of like the couple's energy of like, oh, we don't really want to invite Jess because she's still in this weird place. That's good continuity because she has been in this weird place since before Nick came back. She was doing the bodybuilding. She was doing the carpentry. Then Nick's back. She's acting kind of weird. Now she's like throwing her time into this, like being the king of the single people, which does feel true to Jess. And I like Robbie coming back. I also loved the continuity of they form the group after Nadia dumped him, and they give you a scene of Nadia just flipping the table after he says, I use two sugars because my mom says I'm so sweet.
Yeah, Nadia does not sweat fools. Sweat nerds.
It would be tough for me to be on a date with somebody and them say that sincerely.
Do you have any, you know, a lot of people talk about icks, getting the ick.
Yep.
Do you ever have any ick examples, a good ick example of something? And is it possible to bounce back from an ick, or is ick usually that's over? Sorry.
I find it hard to imagine that, like, an ick, the way it's used, like, someone eats spaghetti with their hands, like, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that if you were,
that would
like,
make
really
me like them more, but I hear what you're saying as an example.
If you were, like, really into someone, icks don't exist. I do think early date icks are a real thing.
No, if you like love your partner, but you see them like picking their nose, you might be like, that's a little gross.
I don't see a world where like you are no longer in love with Mara because she did something.
Well, that's
gross.
What we're saying. An ick isn't necessarily a deal breaker, but you could still say
no.
Ick,
an ick is like I've got an ick. He gave me the ick, and now I'm not into it anymore.
Now,
an
so
ick isn't like ick, something's icky. Someone did something gross. Like an ick impacts how you feel about the person.
So okay, so it's a deal breaker, or at least like it knocks your like how much you like them down a significant percentage.
That's my understanding of it.
Do you have an ick example or no?
When I'm in. As a friend or as a girlfriend, it's hard to shake me if I decide that I'm in on a person.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you decide you're not in.
Yeah, well, almost everything prior to that, isn't it? It's a hard hurdle to clear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I have a ton of examples. I just can't think of any. Okay. I'm not so into ick culture.
Is ick even a culture, or is it just like a sweeping, like a phase that's basically over?
What's the difference between a phase and culture? Ick culture, the ick phase, the ick phenomenon, whatever it
I'm
is.
I'm not sure.
It's giving me the ick.
This whole conversation?
No, I'm kidding. The concept of an ick.
Do you ever ick? I ick myself, I feel like, a lot. Like, I'll hear something I said. It's like, oh, I hate that. Yeah, I'm out on this guy. I gave myself
the
ick.
I guess, like, eating a big globby mayonnaise sandwich, that gives me the ick.
Just nothing else but mayonnaise?
Or, like... That's like a real one.
But that's gross. I think most people would find that gross. Not everybody, but.
I don't think an ick has to be just unique.
I know, but that you're like, okay, that's a bad ick.
My more unique icks will be, I don't really buy into the ick of it all. There have been some really funny ones, like Jared Freed, the comedian, does some stand-up, and there's like TikTok clips where he's like asking people for their icks, and there are like some very, very funny ones. Like, I don't know, like I'm like a man running to catch a bus, like, or like whatever, like there's just like some very specific funny stupid ones. But
yeah, well, I got a man running to catch a bus. I did that. I broke my friggin' foot.
that's an ick.
I gave myself the ick. I really like the thing about breaking the foot. I wish I could, like, if I had video of like one moment of my life, that would be in the top five. The bus driver like trying to help me and me like push, telling like go on without me while I'm lying in the middle of the street, not knowing yet that I knew I was injured, but not knowing yet that my foot was broken. And then the angry old Israeli man who is now like being inconvenienced by for 20 seconds as I lay there trying to have like a conversation in broken Hebrew with the guy. Picks me up and yanks me on the bus. So he is not, like, it's really an all-time moment. Like, I wish.
You got back on the bus? I feel like this is Kramer. Like,
I was never on the bus. I was running to the bus stop, and the bus was running, coming at me. Like, the bus was coming down the hill.
Who grabbed you and brought you onto the bus?
The old, like, the man who was mad that I was, like, basically, I said, go on without me. In the bus driver's mind, I was injured coming on the bus, even though I never made contact with the bus, you know, and I fell basically like right in front of the bus, that in his mind, and kudos to this guy, he was now the responsible party at the scene. And he wouldn't leave. But I also, like, at this point, it's like I was going to the mall to get lunch because it was like I had a light day from work. I met Mary, I think maybe was pregnant or something, but she was sleeping in the middle of the day. I think she was pregnant. And I'm like, I'm just going to leave the house. So she didn't even know I left the house. And so So when I fell, the guy basically drags me on. And now I'm like, all right, fine. I don't know if my foot's broken. I figure it's probably going to be okay. I hop through the mall to get the food I wanted. Go back on the bus the way home, and then I have to like wake her up because it only took, you know, an hour, maybe 40 minutes door to door, and say like, "Hi, I left. I broke my foot. I got lunch. Forgot to get you also. I didn't get her because she was sleeping." So I wish if I had video of that whole thing, I think it would have been really funny.
Wow, incredible.
Is there a moment in your life you wish you had video of that you don't?
No, definitely not. I don't like watching any footage of me at all.
Neither do I, but like just like a cool thing that happened or something funny. You don't think so?
No. Nothing I can think of. But you're lucky that wasn't in New York. I saw a person on a bike get hit by a bus and the bus just kept going.
Oh, of course. I saw many
like last week.
Bike riders get hit by buses when I was in Midtown. Like it happens every minute of the day.
And the bus just
Yeah, no, it was crazy that guy did that.
Yeah, it was pretty upsetting. All right, well, Jess is bringing this singles group together. And one thing is, like, do you know the actor who plays Robbie, his name?
If you gave me three options, I would guess it, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you. His name is Nelson Franklin.
Okay, fine,
I just have
yeah.
to say, there has never been a person who has looked more like their name in the history of the world.
I agree. In fact, when you said Nelson Franklin, I'm like, I thought that's his character's name. You are right.
Yeah,
that is true.
It should be his character's name. Like, he should never play a character that's not named Nelson or Franklin, either one.
No, that's a good call. Who is he in The Office? He's in five episodes of The Office, Nelson Franklin.
Interesting. What's the character name they give you?
Nick. His character name is Nick on The Office. Hmm. He's the IT guy in season 8. He wears glasses.
Yes. Yes.
That's, no, not season
that's
8.
That's really...
He's the 8th IT guy? Oh, they had a lot of IT guys?
I'm looking at this because it says that he played a graphic designer and he played Nick. He played two roles. He was at the job fair.
Season 6.
Then,
Nick quits Dunder Mifflin Sabre in order to go help inner city kids with computers while trying to say goodbye. Most of the office rudely ignores him and forget who he is. After getting angry with Jim for forgetting his name 10 seconds after he told them, and Dwight for stating the inner city kids only use computers for games and porn, he gleefully reveals the office worker's secrets he learned from looking at their hard drives. Well, yeah, you don't mess with the IT guy. What are you, stupid? He first tells Ryan that he's not a real photographer. Kelly will never fit in the size 2, and then reveals that Daryl's been lying about not being on Facebook. Before realizing the snitch is Andy, flips off the rest of the office and takes his exit. And in season 7, he's mentioned as glasses. Okay.
I mean, if they had cast him in the role of Nelson, maybe we and the cast members wouldn't have forgotten his name.
It's true, because he's a Nelson.
Looks way more like a Nelson than a Nick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the rest of this crew. The one gag I did like is that they went out for Korean barbecue and paid with 13 different credit cards and were asked to never come back again. Members of the group include Brenda, a circuit court judge who teaches taxidermy classes on the side, Hugh, who grows his own onions, who for the first three quarters of the episode, I thought his name was Q, based on, I don't know, hearing issues, mm-hmm. and then former boss, current friend, Principal Foster. You know, I think they're supposed to be a group of, like, comical losers, whatever. But a lot of the episode is like single shaming, couple splaining, mm-hmm. couple shaming. And Schmidt's whole purpose here is to be a force constantly reminding mm-hmm. the single squad that they're just biding their time and they'd all prefer to be in a couple than being single.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the weaker episodes in a long time. It wasn't like aggressively bad in any way. I just thought it was kind of like half an episode. It was kind of nothing.
I agree. I think, like, Jess's single squad could have been, like, a B story in, like, a real Nick or Winston plot. But mm-hmm. for it to be the point of the episode is, like, yeah, we get it. She's having some trouble with Nick. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't believe that every person would rather be just like with someone random, but I did think it was funny to have like Hugh and Brenda start canoodling in the water and Robbie's got to go in and like break it up. I don't know, pretty extreme, but I did buy the development of chemistry between Jess and Robbie in this episode. Like, I think that's really the plot being moved forward here of all of the storylines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know if anything's being moved forward. I mean, clearly the Nick novel is being moved forward. I don't know to what end. But this was sort of a plot episode that was barely about, like, it was about, like, C-level plots and not really a story episode.
So you don't see Robbie and Jess, you know, at the end of the episode, we'll just, like, jump ahead. Robbie reveals he has feelings for Jess, which, like, disrupts the entire singles organization. And then later they're at the Dice D'Ace bar, the only other location we really see them at besides the Griffin. Robbie's doing a word search, which is a hilarious little detail to me. And Jess is there reading Nick's book, and they decide to sit together at the table. So do you think this is like resolving in a friendship, or we're moving forward with Jess and Robbie?
I think there's going to be a little of a will they or won't they. And you know I'm so out on this at this point. But I think there is. I thought we were getting to Nick and Jess endgame, but oh man, I don't want to see it.
Nick is with Reagan happily, and Jess is single.
Reagan's not even on. She's not even on screen. You know.
So, yeah. Well,
I'll buy it when I see it.
Allie's barely above that.
I mean, Allie was in this episode, and even the episode she's not in, she's like at least on camera.
Fair enough.
Like on Zoom.
Could you have any advice, any takes on how to make married couple friends? Because that's something Schmidt and Cece have been kind of talking about the last few episodes. Like, we need more friends outside this group. We've all got to meet new people. And Cece says, how do we do that? We don't have a kid and I refuse to take cooking classes. And Schmidt proposes they just stand outside a Norah Jones concert and look lost.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to ask for that because my wife and I, we're so different in like the people we're friends with. We don't really have a lot of couple friends. I mean, locally we do. Like, to go for Shabbat meals and stuff, we do. But we don't really, like, hang out. If we go out, it's just the two of us. We rarely go out with another couple pair. Not never, but pretty rarely.
That's interesting. It's interesting that you depend so much on Mara in your day-to-day life, but that you have, partially separate social lives.
Yes,
like, how
I, right.
do you even decide what to order when you're out with your friends?
I mean, I'm not a baby.
Boom roasted.
I'm not a baby.
I believe for this podcast you said, I have to ask my wife, well, you said Mara, I have to ask Mara what my schedule is.
Well, she doesn't make my schedule at all, but I didn't want to, like, I don't know, like, which kids are home. I haven't seen my daughter in a couple days. She was on a trip. Like, I can't just, like, automatically without mentioning it to her. The truth is, I 95% of the time I do, but I at least wanted to say, like, hey, if I come home and immediately go into a podcast, like, is there anything going on? Even though I know the answer is
joking.
No.
I'm just joking.
Like, I did ultimately book it before she responded, because she's usually, when she's dealing with the kids, she's, to her credit, never on her phone. Or at least ignores me, but I think never on her phone from what I see here.
Can you ask Adira what the icks are? I feel like Adira would have icks.
Yes. I think one of the
Isn't
kids
Isn't it being,
mentioned
like, short me. And not muscular? I guess we've already
For her, well, I think you're, like, I don't think those, like, she would call those people friends, I think. Like, I don't think they would exist to her. But I will ask her for the next episode if she has any icks for just people in general.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Nick's book. So Schmidt read the Pepperwood Chronicles, and he has no notes, which is one of my favorite scenes and one of my most quoted lines. It's kind of like a Seinfeld line where you just be like, no notes, and nobody knows what you're talking about, but it just kind of works.
Now, is he being serious, or is he just, like, pushing him off by saying, I have no notes?
Interesting. You tell me. I mean, I took everybody's hype of the book at face value, but maybe that's a take. You read it as, like, insincere?
I'm not sure. I read it as, like, we'll find out more about this.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I believed it. I guess it's hard to believe because it's, like, Nick doing something, but Schmidt makes, like, very detailed lines about it, like, their conversation where Nick is, like, identifying his own holes in the story of, like, well, what about the section where I just transcribe local news? I didn't even change the anchor's name. And he was like, what else, like, slice of life? I forget what Schmidt really says. But, I mean, that's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, an interesting take that you took it to mean that he was just pushing him off. But what about Winston and Allie? They have a similar reaction as they are desperate to take a break from their smashing.
Yeah, well, right. But they're also, like, trying to not – they're having trouble conveying to each other that they both want to take a break also.
Right. But so seemingly they're incentivized to give notes, but they've got no notes. They love the book.
No, yeah, I guess that's true. But also it's like Nick is so insane, I think it would just be fun to say, like, no notes. No, it's perfect.
That's true. Well, it does work, whether it's reverse psychology or genuine. It inspires Nick to write another chapter. So I don't think he's done with the book. He's just added another chapter. And he's integrated a character named Schmidt, which I don't think, you know, not to criticize the writer's room, but I don't think that's, like, the best riff on Schmidt in, like, even in a funny way. Schmidt?
No, I think it's weird. It's also very hard to say, Schmidt.
Yeah, so he's a wise, denim-clad Jewish chaplain, which I had to go back, like, 3 times and put the subtitles on to be like, is he saying chaplain? And it's revealed that he is the grotesque villain, Dirtbag. He is the bad guy in Pepperwood's life.
Pepperwood is a great name, by the way. Schmidt, not a great name. Pepperwood's really a great name.
Pepperwood's excellent. The Pepperwood Chronicles is excellent. The only thing I don't like about this is, like, it could have been a tender moment, which Nick and Schmidt are known to have, where he's like, I added the friend who's, like, influencing him and whatever in a good way, which is where I thought it was going. And, okay, they zigged when I thought they were going to zag and made him, like, an insulting character. But it does seem like then there's more to come out of this. Like, are they going to leave it there? Are we going to have, like, Schmidt continuing to harass Nick about, like, the villain in his story? I just, like, it didn't seem like a note to end on that Nick is just putting Schmidt in as this horrible character.
Very strange, right? But I guess this, maybe it's a season-long story. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah, we'll see. And we already talked about Robbie and Jess ending up at the restaurant. And I don't know. I, like, kind of ship Robbie and Jess. Like, I think in real life, whether you think Robbie and Jess are in it for the long haul, at this moment in this episode, I actually think Jess would end up with somebody like Robbie.
Robbie's not so far off from who I think Jess would end up. It's not completely crazy yet. Like, some of
the
her
performance
are
of Toto's Africa, like, he thinks all of her shtick is, like, really,
yeah, it's, you know what it is, it's sincerity. He's got sincerity.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. All right, Kiwi, who won the episode? We don't have any listener write-ins, probably because they didn't have faith we were doing this episode, but who won?
I think you have to give it to Winston and Allie. They finally see each other after a long time. They have a good time. Everyone else, I mean, Nick, I guess, Nick getting the no notes, maybe it's, like, huge vindication for him after all these years of writing the book and being mocked. So I guess what's better, smushing 13 times or writing a book your friends like? Different people would say different things.
Yeah, well, you're going to say Winston and Allie. I'm going to say Nick because I just didn't love the storyline about the smushing.
No, it was a terrible storyline, but listen, it's not the character's fault. They're not writing it.
Nick's life's work and dream is being achieved, and he is only getting motivated to write more, and everybody's loving it. So I'm going to give the win to Nick. He's also involved in the no-note scene, which is my favorite scene of the episode. One thing I want to touch on with the Robbie thing is, like, and they do address it, so credit to the episode, where Cece's like, if you're hesitant about Robbie because of me and him, like, we only did hand stuff and I'm fine with it. I just think, like, she dated Robbie a little bit too long, even though she's married, for that to not, like, skeeve Jess out. Like,
true. Yeah.
I would find it, if Missy had a boyfriend she dated even, like, 5 dates, and then, like, was like, but you could date him, I would have a very hard time with it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree.
Though I'll be honest, I have tried the reverse, but she wasn't into it. So, you know, again, the rule holds.
Yeah.
I have tried to foist someone.
A 4.5.
4.5? 4.8.
4.8? Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't 4.8. He was more like 7.
Oh, nice. I definitely right. never met him if he was...
That's short Jewish man on short Jewish man violence, Akiva.
All right, fair.
Okay. Let's, we have time for a Garner Minute if you're up for it.
Well, I it's been so long. How about this? My guarantee to the audience. Next episode, we're getting a real Garner Minute. But I just haven't.
But what if we don't have time next week?
Why wouldn't we have time?
This is shocking to me. I never thought you did any prep. I thought you just, like, Google Jennifer Garner and read the first few hits.
Oh, my God. You thought I just...
That's what you go to her Instagram me? And read the first caption. Like, you don't
need
notice.
Okay, fine. I'll give you a Garner Minute. Start the clock.
Hold on. Let me... Start while I get the timer up, you can do your little research. And...
I do hours and hours of research. What are you talking about?
No. You do, like, 1/1,000,000th of the research Noam did in advance of RENAP. All right, here we go. Ready? Go.
Yes. So, some sad news to report. Jay Garn's father, William, passed away a little over a week ago at the age of 85 over Easter weekend. And she paid tribute to his gentle demeanor and quiet strength. He died on Saturday, March 30th. And she posted a picture saying her father passed away peacefully Saturday afternoon. We were with him singing Amazing Grace as he left. Did we carry him across or scare him away? Valid question. She wrote.
Akiva, next slide. Like, next slide.
Hmm?
Next slide. This is terrible. Very sad.
You don't like? You don't like that? I mean, like, this is what we were going on with Jay Garns. All right, you want to hear about her divorce? Fine. She met Scott Foley. She opens up about her divorce and how the marriage imploded. She met Scott Foley in 1998, okay? Before her high-profile relationship with Ben Affleck. They got divorced in 2004, but now she reveals what happened. They met on the show Felicity. Do you know about Felicity? You ever watch Felicity?
Oh, and that's... Oh,
TBD.
You know, hold on.
TBD for the Garden Minute for next week.
Wait. Allie from the editing room, doing the Garner Minute blew up in my face. The alarm kicked my headphones off the Bluetooth, yada, yada, yada. This is the end of the episode. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks to the Keeveman, who sent in his guest for next week's episode via voice note, which I'll drop now. Next week, season 6, episode 4, Homecoming.
So season 6, episode 4 is called Homecoming. Whose homecoming is it? Could it be some high school homecoming? Nobody's really in or teaching high school right now. Who's going home? Have we seen Jess go back to Portland? I know I've guessed that before, but that's what I'll guess. Jess goes back to Portland with Cece? Okay, that's my guess.
See you all, I won't be ya!
My pipe and my dog, my pipe and my dog, my pipe and my dog. My pipe.